minutes, I'm going to give a brief devotional. I know you may not believe it, but I'm going to try to actually follow in the Savinsky tradition and preach a little bit shorter tonight. But I'm going to introduce a new Sunday night series. Now, we've done things like trees in the Bible and swords in the Bible, and so here's the new one, clouds in the Bible. So I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. But I'm going to cite Psalm 19 and verse 1. In Psalm 19 and verse 1, the Bible says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." So as we go through this topical study on clouds in the Bible, I trust that whenever you look into the sky and see a cloud, that you'll be reminded of the truths that we're going to study through this series. Thursday night, Krista, Ivy, and I got to go to the Braves baseball game. And I took some pictures on my phone. We know there was a thunderstorm that was coming, and this is one of those pictures. And of course, you know how it is. Whenever you're taking a picture, like of a sunset, the picture never does justice to the actual experience. But kind of right over where those lights and where the big display board is, these big, thick, heavy clouds were starting to roll in and really dark. And then you could see over kind of to the right, there's this beautiful sunset. So the sun, the clouds are reflecting the rays of the sunset. And then you have these clouds. It was just a very dramatic look to it, right? And so as you look to the sky, and maybe you'll see some of these beautiful sunsets, or you'll see the drama. We've been having these afternoon thunderstorms that have been coming in and rolling in. Matter of fact, I was setting up for the teen family picnic at our house yesterday, and it was beautiful and sunny, and at 3:30, beautiful and sunny, there was thunder, rumbling, you know, like shaking. You could feel it. And I was like, "Lord, please hold back the rain." And he was so gracious to do so. We had a great time. But we've been having those thunderstorms, and it's amazing how quickly those clouds roll in and how dark they are. And isn't it interesting, too, that sometimes you can have a very light, gentle rain? The other morning, I went out, and it was just, I really wouldn't even call it sprinkling. It was more of a mist. And there's other times we just get what they call a gully washer, where it's just a downpour. And there's a lot of different pictures or illustrations or stories that incorporate clouds in the Bible, the Shekinah glory of God. The psalmist talking about the clouds and how God uses them as a pavilion. And the story, you know, of Elijah and Elisha and the clouds that come into that. And Jesus, right? When you hear the voice from the clouds. And there's so many different ones. I mean, Moses went up into the clouds on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, and he was enveloped in this dark cloud in the very presence of God. Why was that? We're going to explore those things, but tonight I want us to look in Genesis chapter 9, and we'll begin in verse 8 and read through verse 16 together. "And God spake unto Noah and his sons, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood. Neither shall there be any more a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth, and the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth." There is never any other recorded covenant in the scriptures that is between God and mankind and the animals and all living things. This is a unique covenant. And there are several things that I want to make as statements tonight. Number one, rainbows exist because God put them in the clouds. Amen. It is not just a natural phenomenon. This is a token. You could say this is a seal, an official seal by God, a statement stamped in the skies where God says, "I am keeping my covenant." So when you see a rainbow, matter of fact, our youth group went to Fairbanks, Alaska. And I can remember that when I was in Fairbanks, I was actually standing in the church parking lot, kind of at those of you that have been there, the pastor's parsonage right across the street, and just over the church was a double rainbow. It's the most clear and vibrant and beautiful double rainbow I've ever seen in my life. It's just amazing. But whenever we see the rainbow, understand that that is not just a phenomena of nature, that that is an actual direct act of God placing that rainbow in the clouds as, again, a reminder of his covenant. So that also ought to remind us that God keeps his promises. Folks, God is showing mercy to us, and he's honoring his covenant because we deserve another universal flood. Look how wicked the world is around us. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we live in a very sinful, dark, vile world. And yet God continues in grace and mercy to keep his promise. Isn't it amazing? That promise is not just for us, but even for the animals. I mean, man has a living soul. I mean, think of this, think of all of the souls that were destroyed and perished in eternal death because of the universal flood. And why did God destroy the earth? Because the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. But this promise is also, because think of all of the animals, right, that they also perished. They did not bring that upon themselves. Man brought that destruction. His wickedness brought destruction upon all those creatures. And yet God, in his goodness and in his mercy, spares all of the animals and all of humanity and all the devastation that was wreaked upon our earth, even geologically speaking. God has promised not to do that again in the universal fashion. Now, you know, recently there have been floods in southeastern Kentucky, and there have been a lot of lives lost in those floods, a lot of devastation. And floods that happen around the world, many that result in things like mudslides that kill people and destroy villages and all that sort of thing. And yet God has been merciful not to destroy the earth with another universal flood. And then rainbows ought to remind us of God's coming judgment. And it will come to pass just as sure as we see the rainbows. When you see the rainbow, it ought to have that positive effect. Yes, God, you put that there on purpose. It is the seal or the symbol of your covenant that you have made with man and all living creatures and the earth, that you will not destroy us with a universal flood. But it's also a reminder that there is a coming judgment. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 to 9. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? In other words, God's not coming back. What do you mean? You know, some even, the full of sadness are, there is no God. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Listen to this, for this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water, and in the water whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. That's the universal flood. And today, scientists, unbelieving scientists, tie themselves in knots trying to explain away a universal flood by all kinds of other theories. Because the evidence that lies before them, that is clear if they would only accept it, would point to an omniscient, omnipotent, sovereign God to whom they will be held accountable. And if there is the God, and if he did destroy the earth with a universal flood, according as the evidence points out, then it means that this God, who is holy and just, has a moral law to which he holds men accountable. And he is the supreme authority who will execute judgment. And rather than face the truth and humble themselves and repent and trust Christ, so many continue to deceive and be deceived, walking in a delusion, thinking somehow if they just believe hard enough, they will escape reality. That's lunacy. But to believe that literally, you're not thinking straight. You know why? Because Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the gospel, which is the glorious image of Christ, should shine unto them. Folks, we can show all of the evidence of the gospel to people, whether it's the evidence of the universal flood or other things. But you know what, folks? Though we need to have an apologetic, that is, we need to be able to give an answer to the hope that lies within us. We need to be able to present and people that they have They have stumbling blocks. They have things they stumble over. They have questions. They have been taught things that are false assumptions. And based on those false assumptions, they come to false conclusions. We ought to be able to biblically and lovingly show a biblically reasonable explanation for those things, those answers, so that they understand that it is a reasonable and right thing that they need to seriously consider the claims of the gospel. But only the Holy Spirit of God can do that work and convicting of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. I'm so excited. We're going to be having Jeff Musgrave and the exchange. But if we trust in a system of presenting the gospel rather than trusting in the Holy Spirit and the Savior to do the work, we're mistaken. We do the work. These are tools to help us to equip in the work, but we must be desperate in dependence, in prayer upon God and the leading of His Holy Spirit to work in their hearts and to be a faithful messenger of the truth and trust God to take that and use that. And we can't get all caught up in the results. It's a joy to reap in the harvest and then to be able to disciple people in their faith. But ultimately, the results are up to God. We need to be faithful to sow and to water and let God give the increase. But Christians, when we see the bow, yes, we see that God keeps His promises. We see that God has faithfully kept His promises. We see it as an intentional message from God to His creation. But it also ought to remind us, judgment is coming. Listen to the rest of 2 Peter 3, 3-9. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word of God that declared the universal flood to happen. Because when Noah and his family entered in the ark, all the animals went in the ark, the Bible says that God shut the door. When God shut the door, no man could open it. And God sent the floods by the word of His decree. And by that same word, now the heavens and the earth, the Bible says, are reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And then this, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. That judgment day is coming. The day of the Lord will be here. But listen, He's not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So when we Christians, when we see the rainbow in the sky, not only we see God keeps His promise and God is faithful, and this shows the loving mercy of God, but it all needs to remind us, judgment also is coming. That same word of God has reserved in God's perfect timing. Someday the heavens and the earth are going to melt with fervent heat and pass away. You'll see the rest of, you can read that as you read through the rest of 2 Peter chapter 3. And God now, in His mercy and grace, is giving us opportunity to share the gospel. He's giving unbelievers an opportunity to listen, to repent, and to believe. Even though man willfully ignores the evidence of the universal flood and of other evidence and working that God is doing, God still keeps His covenant and sets the rainbow in the clouds. Remember that the next time you look in the clouds and see the rainbow. Let's pray, and then we'll dismiss with a closing chorus. Our Heavenly Father, You who out of nothing spoke everything into existence. On the microscopic level, such a complex and incredible world exists in this physical and material existence that we have that scientists still have not completely explored or understood everything just on the subatomic level. Now, Lord, Your creation is so vast, and yet You have promised that You will not destroy man and the animals and this earth with another universal flood, though You have the power to do it, and You did it once. But You have also warned and promised that there is coming a day of fiery judgment on this physical planet and on our atmosphere. And we look forward to the new heavens and the new earth where there will be no unrighteousness but only dwells righteousness and holiness. And oh Lord, as we look at the sky and we see the rainbow, and whatever we are struggling with, may we claim Your promises, promises like You will never leave us nor forsake us, that You will provide for all our needs according to Your riches in glory. and that you, Lord, will give us that comfort that we can dwell under the shadow of your wings and we are within your protection. All the wonderful promises that we can enjoy. May we be reminded of those, that you keep your promises and your word when we see the rainbow. And may we also be reminded there is coming a judgment, and may it move us with compassion that you who have displayed your mercy in withholding that day of judgment until now are giving us an opportunity to share the gospel, and may our hearts be filled with compassion of Christ, that we may share the truth of the gospel, that folks may have that implanted into their heart, that they may then see that come to fruition, believe on Christ and be saved. Oh Lord, we are to be sowers faithful with the seed, and we yield the results to you. Help us to be faithful. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the symbol of that mercy and of your faithfulness in the sky. May it remind us when we look at the rainbows. Thank you for this gift. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's stand, and we'll dismiss with a closing chorus.
Sing Standing on the Promises.